Luke chapter 9 again, as we were this morning, and I want you to look at a very, very familiar verse here in this great gospel that contains an often overlooked element. Verse 23 says, "And he said to them all, if any man will, wants to, or would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, the part of this verse that's, I think, often overlooked is this little word. You'll notice the word daily. You see, five times in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus admonishes his own to, quote, take up thy cross. And we're all familiar with that. We hear these verses quoted oftentimes, take up your cross and follow me. But in this text, the Holy Spirit emphasizes this truth by giving this specific word of our Lord, who says, daily. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross. Daily. The word daily obviously means every single day. So what it's saying here is that a child of God from the very moment of salvation is not automatically and therefore always bearing his cross. We'll talk in a moment about what that means exactly, but let's establish that very truth. In fact, what the Lord is implying in this text is that at least once a day a child of God is not bearing his cross. You cannot take it up if you're already and always carrying it, right? And so when the Lord Jesus says, every day you have to take it up, guess what? That means every day. Daily means daily. A child of God, therefore, has to be every day proactive and purposeful. This is what Paul was doing. When the great apostle said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die. And what is the word? The next word? Daily. What did he mean? He meant that every day, on a daily basis, he did what the Lord Jesus taught in verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. In other words, Paul took it up. He picked up his cross every single day. The question tonight for all of God's people, the followers of the Lord Jesus, which I believe and assume most of you in this room, if not all of you are, is simply this. What happens if you don't take up your cross every single day? What happens when a child of God leaves his cross, as it were, lying there on the ground today? Well, in the light of eternity, in the simplest of terms, it negates that entire day. You've wasted the day. Now, the flesh may accomplish certain things. The flesh may make some money and go forward here and there and so on, but the Spirit will absolutely do nothing on that day. And so, that day is negated as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. You know, I wonder how many of you here tonight have ever had one of those days when, because of whatever did or did not happen during the day, you finally came to the end of it and you said to yourself, or thought to yourself, I've blown a whole day. I've just simply wasted an entire day of my life. Have you ever done that? Feel like you've wasted a whole day? Well, I have. I can't remember the last time that I was really, really sick, 104 degree fever, flu type sick. It's been a while, I guess. I know the time I blew out my knee and for a couple of days was just taking pain medication. When that happens, I lie around all day, and maybe I can't even read on a day like that. I feel like I've wasted the whole day. It's a lousy feeling. The truth of the matter is, I don't even like the feeling I get when I wasted an hour. I look at my clock, a whole hour has gone by, or lunch is just taking too long. I used to have lunch occasionally with one of our members. He was once a chess champion, and you could tell he was a chess champion because it took him 20 minutes to pass the salt. But I hate to waste time, and I know you do as well. Because we believe, after all, that every day is a gift from God. Every day is an opportunity, a blessing. It's a privilege. So nobody, no disciple of Christ for sure, wants to waste a whole day or a whole week. You know, what some people think is a waste of time or a waste of a day isn't necessarily what God considers a waste of time, and vice versa. I remind you of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. You know, he thought that his day was great. It was full. He utilized that day to the absolute max. He closed some deals and he made some profit and he had some fun. He ate, He drank and he was merry. So for him, it wasn't a wasted day at all. But you know what? In God's estimation, it was a total waste. He wasted that day entirely and he didn't have to waste it. On the other hand, the world would look down, say, for example, at the Apostle Paul, sitting in that prison for 2 years, the prison at Caesarea where he didn't write a single epistle in the New Testament. Now, they would look at that experience and say, what a waste. That was a waste of 720 days. But again, in God's economy, that was not true, not from heaven's perspective. And the reason that it wasn't a waste in God's kingdom is that in the Apostle Paul's first century day timer or whatever he would have, he had already by that time taken a metaphorical pen and written the words, September the 16th, A.D. 61, take up your cross today. I have in my phone, as many of you do, a calendar. And I will put things in that calendar right there that tell me things that I need to do today. And you may have a calendar at home. Maybe it's a monthly one on your desk or your refrigerator somewhere. On that calendar, you write things that you're supposed to do that day, the important things. And you know, the reason why you write them down on the calendar is that you don't want to forget them. It's a daily reminder. Today, I don't want to forget this. Well, here's the question. What about writing down today? Tomorrow's Monday, September the 17th. Today, take up my cross. Things to do today, take up my cross. In other words, recognizing what Jesus is saying in this text is real, and it is very real. He means this. He's not just being poetic. He means every day that you want to follow him daily, you have to take up your cross, and so important is it that if you don't take it up, you will waste it. For all spiritual purposes, for anything that's eternal, for anything that really matters 5 minutes after you're dead, you've wasted that day. Now look, I'm not suggesting necessarily that you literally write every single day on every day of your calendar all through the year, bear cross today. In fact, it's really the opposite of that. You know why? Because you don't need to write things down that you do every single day. You know, the things that you wouldn't think of even skipping because it's an everyday thing, you don't write those down. I don't have on my calendar, eat food today, as if I have to be reminded. I write down, don't eat so much food today. That's what I'm reminded of. I don't have to write down, get dressed or study or walk to car from my front door. It's Sunday. Oh, reminder, go to church today. I don't have to write that down. No. And in the same way, it ought to be that taking up your cross is so part and parcel of our daily sustenance, our daily life, that we always, first thing in the morning, in our heart, we always take up our cross, that we would never, ever want to waste an entire day doing things, building barns, tearing down other ones, and doing things in the flesh, and waste a whole day for the kingdom of God. And you know something, folks? There are certain reasons why, if you don't obey Christ and you don't take up your cross, there are reasons why that leads to a wasted day, at least wasted in the eyes of God, wasted in the kingdom of God. For instance, I want you to notice the first thing in the text. Number one, if you don't take up your cross today, then you will not follow Christ today. Now follow this very carefully. Look at verse 23. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, anybody in this room want to follow Jesus, then here's the first thing you have to do. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I want to remind you again of what this entire metaphor was all about. The word cross here is the same word for cross everywhere else in the New Testament. This is not some just poetic expression. It's a metaphor, yes. The disciples didn't fully understand this because they knew what a cross was. They knew that the Greek word here, the word that he was using in Aramaic, is the stake in the ground that the Romans used to crucify people. They didn't fully understand that Jesus would be crucified on that stake. But he knew that they would. And so he's talking about a cross, crucifixion, a Roman invention as a means of public shame, capital punishment. And of course, part of the public shame included having the victim, the Romans, would have the victim carry their own cross.
It was designed to add insult to injury in the same way that the Nazis would have their victims dig their own graves, shoot them, and then put them in their own graves.
However, in this case, the concept of carrying your own cross would soon take on an entirely new dimension when the Lord Jesus himself, the God of glory, would deny himself.
He would willingly give his life at a place called Calvary on a cross. In other words, when Jesus told the disciples, follow this, when he said, follow me,
wherever they were going to go, and if you read through the Gospel of Luke, they would go to some wonderful places, but ultimately and eventually it would lead them to a cross. It would lead them to Calvary.
And since that cross was a symbol of shame and rejection and worldly disapproval, guess what, beloved? Anybody who truly follows Jesus, and this is why you have to do this first thing in the morning, why you have to do this every single day. If you're going to truly be a follower of the Christ of this Bible, you are going to experience the same spiritual rejection. In this world, let me put it this way. Any Christian who is not willing to take up his cross, bearing the reproach of Christ every single day, is not willing either to follow the Lord who carried his cross. You can sing songs following in the steps of Jesus and so on. You can talk about it. And you can say that you're a Christian and a follower of Jesus and a child of God, but not unless you are willing to pick that cross up every single day, because the cross represents what Jesus went through. Christ was rejected of men, and there is a shame that is associated with the cross of Jesus Christ. And beloved, it is impossible for a true follower of our Lord Jesus until and unless you are willing to bear his shame. It is impossible to truly follow in his steps.
1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Let me ask you a question. If you listen to any of the famous, the big-time television preachers today, some of you watch their shows, if you do, try to think in your mind, when was the last time they preached about the cross, crucifixion, the blood of Christ, the death?
When was the last time you heard them preach about the cross in terms of you bearing the cross of Christ and bearing his reproach? You don't hear that very often. And there's a reason for that. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish, that's millions of people who watch those shows, foolishness. Verse 23 goes on to say, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness.
Verse 26 of our text, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. I want to tell you something, folks. When I go out and meet people out and about in South Florida, Palm Beach County, and when they learn that I'm a minister, okay, somewhere along the conversation in a restaurant here or there or whatever, they'll find out that I'm a minister. I'm a pastor of a congregation in Jupiter, a reverend who went to seminary. When and if they learn those details, you know, quite frankly, they like that. I've learned this through the years. They actually kind of like that. They'll even say, hey, honey, he's a minister. Come here and meet the reverend. Meet the minister. Hey, so-and-so, that's fine. People in our society, people in the world, they take well to the local minister, reverend, marital counselor, funeral, wedding, religious leader.
And you know, through the years I've learned, and I've been invited here in my own hometown to speak and to join and to cooperate and to lead and help organize or co-chair just about every community or town project, any public ministerial effort that's ever called for a preacher. Sometime or another in the past, I've been asked to be a part of it. And you know, in the first year or two that I was here, I was 29 when I came here.
In the younger days, I was a little tiny bit more naive and maybe a little tempted to lock arms in some of these efforts and be a little ecumenical here in town. But you know, I learned very quickly. I learned very, very quickly that the only way that the world would ever embrace any minister is if that minister would just compromise specifically
the cross of Jesus Christ. In other words, the world doesn't mind a Jesus or a minister of Jesus, just so long as it's not the born-again, Bible-believing, literal heaven and hell, one way to salvation Jesus. But folks, that's what the cross represents. That God sent his Son to die for sins. That Jesus denied himself. As soon as I learned that, some many years ago, I remembered the words of Paul, who said in Galatians 6:14, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And here's perhaps the most important part of that statement that's often forgotten. By whom, it goes on to say, "God forbid should I glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." You know what he's saying? He's saying that cross, that truth that is represented in the cross, crucifies the world to me, and the world doesn't want anything to do with me either. There is no compatibility between the world and the cross of Jesus Christ. And as I stand here tonight, by the grace and the mercy of God, I pray that every day, every single day, we at Beacon Baptist Church will be true followers of Jesus Christ and take up the cross and all that it represents, testifying that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. If you do not take up your cross daily, then it is a wasted day because, number one, you're not following Christ. You are not. That's what he said right here. He said, if you want to follow me, number one, deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. The second thing I want you to notice, number two, is if you don't take up your cross today, then you're not denying yourself. Look at the wording again in verse 23. "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow." Now, folks, I want you to notice very carefully what Christ is teaching here. Because he is saying that the only way that you will take up your cross and thus follow Jesus is to first do this: deny yourself. The phrase in the Bible often is "die to self." So in a very real way, the first thing you have to do every morning, and the reason you have to do it every morning, is because we're of the flesh, we're selfish. You have to deny yourself every single day. Pastor Blaylock, come on, doesn't the Lord understand that a lot of us in this room are baby boomers? And you know, as baby boomers, our generation was told to affirm ourselves. Every morning I'm supposed to get up and look in the mirror and say, "I am somebody." "You are somebody." "I love me." I'm supposed to affirm myself, not deny myself. In fact, you know, we were raised by Dr. Spock, who told my mom to tell me that I'm the most special person in the universe. So I've been told all my life, I'm the very most special person ever. I'm unique. And yet God is telling me to deny myself? Yes, folks, we're not talking about the world's philosophy. We're talking about truth. We're talking about the Word of God. You deny yourself so that you can take up the cross. Several years ago, Rick gave me a book that he had been reading called Cat and Dog Theology. It's a book about two modern views of our relationship with God. And you don't need to read the book. You just turn on the back, and basically what he showed me, you just read what it says in the back. A dog says, "You pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, you love me, you must be God." A cat says, "You pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, you love me, I must be God." In other words, the cat says, "You exist to serve me." The dog says, "I exist to serve you." It's very simplistic, but there is some truth to this. Why do you exist? So that, you know, again, your average television guy and the average book in the Christian bookstore, obvious, God is there to serve you. He's Santa Claus. He's there to make you healthy and wealthy and happy. joyful, and every day is a Friday. God is there for you.
And may I just say, the Bible's not saying here, the Bible's not teaching that life is a funeral.
It's not at all what it's saying. It's not saying that we're on this daily death march. Not at all. The very text that we had this morning is a reminder to us all that God's goodness and provision is for us to receive and to enjoy to His glory. But you know what? The familiar paradox of the Christian life is this. To be alive, you have to die to self.
Except a grain of corn fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone, Jesus said. Nothing was ever resurrected that didn't die first. Verse 24 again, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. In other words, if you can't get up in the morning and deny yourself, your life is worth nothing. You lose your life. So what if you accomplish this and this and this and this and this? If you save your life, you've lost it. It means nothing. But whosoever will lose his life for his sake, there's the cross. It's not just losing it, but for his sake. The same shall save it. You see, the Lord Jesus is calling his people not to give up joy or victory or life by denying yourself, but to find it. To find it. By denying yourself every day and then taking up that cross. So that what Christ means here is that if there's anything in your life that would prevent you from taking up your cross, this is the part you deny. Is it their ambition, pride, greed, fear of rejection, loss of some position or power or prestige? Whatever it is that would hinder you from taking up your cross, that's what you deny. That's denying yourself. And denying yourself every single day so that every day you take up that cross and then, and really only then, you can follow Him. You know, do you realize that a day that is lived for yourself is worthless? It's a wasted day. If you live for yourself, you can live for one person. If you live for others and the Lord Jesus, you can live for 6 billion people. And a day that's lived for yourself is a wasted day. A day that is lived following Christ, bearing His cross, that cross of shame and identification with Jesus Christ, is never wasted, no matter what happens that day. Good or bad. The only way to live for Him, the only way to follow Him today, is to deny yourself first today. Start out in the morning, die to self. I die daily. You know, you can find out if you die daily. That way, if somebody insults you, well, you know what? If you're dead, you don't insult dead people.
If you're dead, you're not worried about what other people think or say. You're not worried about your ego or your pride. You're dead to self.
Deny your pride, take up that cross, leading to the third thing in the text. And that is number three, if you don't take up your cross today, then you don't make a difference for others or the Lord. That's what I mean about your life being a waste. Look at verse 22. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. Now I want you to notice what he says. Be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Can I ask you a question? If this were true of you, knowing that the elders and the chief priests and the scribes were out to get you, slay you, cause you to suffer, what would you do? Would you avoid them? Stay as far away as you possibly can from that temple, and especially the leaders in the temple who despise your teaching? What does our Lord do? Turn ahead a few pages to Luke chapter 19. We're going to close in a moment. Luke chapter 19. Look at verse 47. But he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Every day, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow him. Every day, Jesus was found where the enemies, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, sought to destroy him. The reason why every day
he could face those people and do the will of God was that every day he denied himself and he sought to do the Father's will. Now, I want you to think about that, because I want you to think about who are your chief priests and your elders and your scribes. Okay? The people that are respected in society. These are the leaders of our society. These are the influential people. This might be your boss or your manager or your colleagues. Maybe even some family members, but these are people who have a megaphone or a microphone who can say things about you. Dying daily, denying yourself, may well mean that these very people are the ones you have to face every single day with whether or not you're truly following Christ. Jesus taught daily in front of the very people who sought to kill him. So, every day our Lord made a difference. Because every day when he was there, the Bible says he was teaching in the temple. He was there to make a difference in people's lives. So every day the Lord Jesus denied the flesh, he picked up his cross, and in so doing he helped others in his pathway. That's why his life made a difference, and that's how yours will. And anybody who else in this room who wants to follow the Lord Jesus, I mean a true follower, you're going to do the same thing. You have to do the same thing. Number one, deny yourself. Get up in the morning and recognize, okay, my name is Jim Blaylock. I'm nobody. My pride doesn't mean anything. My personal ambitions are nothing. I die. I deny myself, but there's a cross. It represents my faith and my loyalty to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for me. The world doesn't like that. The world hates it. The chief priests and the scribes and the elders will fight me, reject me, and hate me for carrying that cross. But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Denying myself, I pick it up. And now, and only now, I can follow Jesus. And in following Christ, now and only now, I can make a difference today for the kingdom of God. And you know, in American Christian society, I've noticed that people want the third thing. They want to make the difference part. WWJD, what would Jesus do? But they want the third part without doing the second or the first thing. They don't want to deny themselves. And they don't want to take up that objectionable cross. But ladies and gentlemen, the third part is impossible. Your life and my life and this church does not make a lasting difference in the world if we are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a waste of time when a child of God, a wasted day, does not deny himself, take up his cross, and thus he's not truly following the Lord. Let me put it to you this way. Every morning that you wake up, you have a cross, metaphorically speaking, that needs to be taken up. And again, it is a cross of identification. That cross identifies you as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and specifically the true Christ, the Christ of this book, who is the true Savior of the world. And as such, the most of the world around you, that cross is a cross of shame. It is a cross of derision, and you know that's the case. You know it's true that when you live and act out the true faith of Jesus Christ, it turns people off. It's repulsive to many. So you know, the only way that you're ever going to do it, the only way you're ever going to pick that up, and especially on a daily basis, is if you deny yourself every day. That is, losing your life for his sake. And Jesus promised, and do you trust him? He promised that when you lose your life for his sake, then you have found it. So that nothing that day is wasted. You know, over in Afghanistan right now, there are young American soldiers who every day and every morning have a choice to make. They've pretty much made the choice, but it's a very real choice in the morning, especially now. There were four young men killed, I think, today, shot by supposed friends that they had trained. The choice involves whether or not they're going to put on that American uniform. Because they know that once they put on that American uniform, they are a target. Once they wear that American uniform as a soldier, instantly they are identified with a country that nearly everybody around them hates, whether rational or irrational. They know that where they are, that uniform is despised by so many, and they're a target. You know what they have to do? They have to deny themselves and put that uniform on. However, when they put it on, the moment they put it on, suddenly, everything they do that day is in service to their entire nation. So you see, folks, the way to actually make a difference is to be different. This is what our Lord was teaching the disciples. Bearing the cross, put on the uniform. Every day, you deny yourself. Daily, you take up your cross, die to yourself, and then you follow him. And then, and really only then, you do not have a wasted day. Then and only then, you make a difference for things that really matter in the kingdom of God. These texts and these verses that we hear so often, we hear them quoted, we even sing them. Little choruses when I was a teenager. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. They become so familiar that we forget that when Jesus spoke them to these apostles, these disciples, they were brand new. They were life-shaking. Take up a cross? A means of execution, a symbol of shame? They were powerful metaphors, and they still are. And so our Lord says to us today in the very same way, deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. The first part is denying yourself. That may be the hardest part. That, you know what? That it is true that if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. It'll be worthless. But if I lose my life for his sake, and that's what discipleship is. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about discipleship. He that loses his life for his sake will find it. I'm saved tonight, but I needed the message. God's reminded me some things I needed to hear with heads bowed and eyes closed. Who would say that? Would you lift your hands through the building? God bless you. God bless you. And I raise mine again. Maybe you're here tonight. You've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. May we pray for you. That's all. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. By that, I mean you've never accepted Christ. You don't know for sure you're saved. You don't know your name's written in heaven. Jesus himself said you must be born again. That's why he died on that cross and was resurrected. That's me, Pastor Blaylock. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me that I could be sure that heaven's my home? Somebody like that, would you lift your hand so that I may pray with you? Anyone like that at all? Just raise it up really high till we see it. All right. We're going to pray in a moment and have a time of invitation. And you know what? I think it would do us all very well indeed to ask the Lord tonight to help to remind us every day. You know, the Bible says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, and we've heard it said many times, the problem with a living sacrifice, it just wants to crawl off the altar. And you know what? That's why we die daily. We deny ourselves daily. Father, bless the invitation. I pray that we will be reminded that he that saveth his life shall lose it. But those of us who continually, day by day, lose our lives for your sake will find it. Our lives make a difference. May we make a difference. May this church make a difference. I'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.